A podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
Welcome to the restricted section. I don't recommend you read the books. I don't recommend you watch the movies. I don't recommend you buy the merch. What I do recommend is taking a short walk every day if you are able. If you haven't done the reading, don't worry, we did it for you. Here's what we're talking about this week. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Chapter 3, The Dursleys Departing, in which the Dursleys enter into protective custody and Dudley attempts to make amends. I'm your host, Christina. My co-host today is Andrew. Say hello to the listeners, Andrew.
Hello, everyone.
And our guest this week is like fourth or fifth time returning guest, Fauna from Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. Say hello to the listeners, Fauna.
Hello, everybody.
Is this your fifth? Fourth?
I think it's fourth.
Oh, do we have to like do the SNL thing if she hits five where we get her like a special jacket?
Yeah, one. And we can't afford that, two.
I know.
Three. This is your fifth time.
Oh, shit.
Well, really? Fifth?
Everyone, sign up for the Patreon. We got to buy Fauna a jacket.
Please, if you have ever considered being a patron, now's the time to sign up.
Fauna, the last time you were on the show was... Just headed up, went away. Don't know why I do anything. Was September of last year for Hermione's Helping Hand, which was not a sex thing. I remember that vividly. How the hell have you been since September?
Good. I have been obsessively crocheting since November, and that obsession hasn't gone away. Usually those little craft ones, they last a couple months at a time, and this one has kept going and cost me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars because yarn is not cheap.
It is not cheap, but I'll tell you what, I just started crocheting, January. And I went into my neighborhood free group or my neighborhood buy nothing group and I asked for yarn. And I actually got a crap ton of yarn from my neighbors for free, which was awesome. And my first several projects, I didn't have to pay for them, which is good because they were bad.
Yeah, always use coupons when I'm going to Michael's or Joann's or whatever. Always
never
have
pay full price at Michael's.
Never.
And I think I believe they all take each other's coupons as competitor coupons.
Michael's stopped
at least they did
that.
When I worked. Oh,
they stopped
I
it during
Michael's
COVID.
20 years ago and they changed.
Has it
from
been
20 years ago?
Yeah.
No, but it's been like 17 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I remember that though.
It's been 17. It was my first job.
Was that your first one?
Pretty legit first job, honestly. Stand here, ring stuff up, and ever since then, I've been so good at self-checkout. That sounds like a joke, but do you know who's so stupid in a self-checkout? My husband, Sean, who never was ever a cashier a day in his life. He cannot do it. It's really funny.
For someone so smart.
I know. Mm-hmm. Have either of you worked as a cashier?
Mm-hmm.
No. Not, I feel like loan cashier, like
retail.
I used a cash register. Yeah, not retail. I was always food service, not retail.
If you're the kind of cashier where like a craft store or like a Target or a grocery store where you're beep, beep, beeping along on the belt, you get this intuitive, you have like you're not looking for the barcode with your eyes. You're doing it with your hands. You know what I mean? Like you know where it should be. And if it's not there, you know how to wiggle it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sean is like a stopper and a hunter. He's like, where's the barcode? And I'm like, just fucking give me that.
If it's not on the bottom, it's on one of the sides. You just kind of,
because
usually now they give you the back end and the top. So it.
Yep. Exactly.
Either way.
Mm. Hot take. I would say that the bagging is far more important than the speed of the checking out. Proper bagging,
I totally agree with you. Although if you're an employee, speedy checkout is important. The thing at Michael's is that everything people were buying was either completely unbreakable, like ribbon, or shatters at a glance, like a vase.
Yep.
There's like nothing in between.
The bags break for me.
Oh, the bags. Well, I always bring bags from home. Those do occasionally also break.
It's always just candles.
Yeah. Cool. So groceries, cashiering. What else? What else do we got? No. Let's talk about this chapter because it's interesting. Andrew, do you remember last week's chapter?
Yeah, I do actually. Well, what? A little bit, but yeah.
Was it interesting?
Oh God, no. It was a will. It was a will.
No, it was an obituary. The will. Oh, an comes obituary. Later.
You're right. It was an obituary. Don't get it twisted. And then what was the second part? Because there was another boring, equally boring part, wasn't there?
He broke his trunk. Cleaning out the trunk. Yep, and he hurt his little hand. Yeah, that was such a boring episode that Brooke drank her annual beer, which I am very honored that she chose to do that live on the show. Yeah,
first time,
that
last
one
time.
Sucked. I'm not going to say that that's going to be the last filler chapter in this book. I mean, we still got to do, what's the name of that one chapter? I'm going to find it. The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore. That's a pretty dumb chapter. But Sam from Content and Capable has to come on it because, you know him, Fauna, you were on that show. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to talk about, I think, like the way that people are portrayed in writing because he's a journalist.
Yeah,
so
that
I'm
makes
sure,
sense.
I'm sure it'll actually be fun. Oh, and Andrew, you're on that one too. That's so funny. Okay, well, see you guys in July for that. Fuck, God damn it. But for today, we're here to talk about The Dursleys Departing, Chapter 3 in The Deathly Hallows. The first chapter, we got our cold open. Second chapter, Harry Potter was a very special boy obituary. Now, we're going to start doing stuff.
Yeah. Kind of.
So it starts with Uncle Vernon calling Harry downstairs. We get this little bit about how Vernon has been going back and forth about like whether he really believes his family to be in danger and whether he's going to like submit to going into protective custody, basically.
Will I let my pride get in front of my family's safety?
I think probably, knowing this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's entirely what it is.
Yeah, the only reason he's doing it is because Dudley.
Yeah. That's probably true.
I request that we call him by his true name, Dedekins.
Dedekins, yeah.
In any other chapter, I would say yes, but in this chapter, let's do him the decency of calling him
Big D.
Let's call him Harry, because that's the actor's name. Yeah. Do you guys remember that? It was Harry Melling. Remember when he said, I'm not Harry? I'm not Harry. Imagine having to say that, but it's your own name. I'm not Christina. It's just the way you say your own name, I feel like, just betrays ownership. Mm-hmm. Uncle Vernon is like, Harry, you are trying to get the house. Only he doesn't say Harry. He never says his name. He says, boy, you're trying to get this house. And Harry's like, why would I do that? All the happy memories.
Yeah, which right. Is He's like, I already have a house.
Well, and like the ultimate stupidity with this take is he could do that whether you're there or not. You're talking about like change. What do you constantly look at the deed? And even if you do, if it changes, you're not going to be able to change it back.
Yeah.
So like, if that's really what you're actually worried about, sorry.
Have you guys ever been like ever in your life so upset and like some part of you knows that it's time to like disengage, but the other part of you is still just really mad, and so you're out. You just say dumb stuff in an emotional moment. You're just like saying dumb stuff.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like Vernon is in that mode all the time. I feel like he's always in the part of a fight where you know you're losing or you've realized you're wrong and you're just like saying anything.
Yeah. You've already lost the game.
You want the house. And it's like, what? Why the fuck would I want this fucking house?
In this chapter, he's basically every leftist and liberal in 2016, right? When Trump won that election and all of us had to like go around and be like, no, I don't care. That like that's what he's living right now is like, it's not fair. It's a shitty situation.
Wait, are you saying hashtag not my president is the same as hashtag not my evil villain coming to murder me?
I'm saying that there's a lot of parallels. The feelings involved are going to have a lot of parallels.
But he would probably have voted for
Oh, Trump. I have a feeling that Vernon Dursley still writes in Margaret Thatcher, even though the bitch has been dead for like a decade now or two.
Oh. Sorry, I said aw. It's sad.
Aw.
It's a sad image. Man.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, I do kind of like, not that I understand Uncle Vernon, but like, it must be really hard to wrap your mind around something that you've like never ever seen any evidence of.
Except your nephew just disappears for 9 months out of the year.
Yeah, but I guess I mean more like just like the Voldemort of it all. Like Vernon is like, I'm good.
Well, and I'm willing to bet that behind closed doors, there's probably tension because while Vernon has never had, like, personal experience with this, Petunia certainly has.
Dudley did, too.
Yeah, well, and Petunia specifically because her sister was killed by this guy. So it's like, they've got to, like, balance this thing where, you know, Vernon with his big boy emotions about, I don't want to have to leave my house. And Petunia's sitting there like, I think we should probably leave.
Yeah.
I know. I do feel like there's a part of Petunia's mind that still lives, like, on a level of denial. Like, even though she, like, knows that Voldemort killed her sister, I feel like the same part of her brain that, like, rejects Harry for his magical talents is, like, magic was always going to get her killed. And ultimately, like, that's what killed her. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Vernon's waffling. Oh, he's fucking waffling.
Yeah.
So something I noticed in this chapter that I would like to talk about. So this is the last time we see the Dursleys. Oh, fuck. I meant to check something. But I'll check out what I'm talking. So this is the last time we see the Dursleys. And, like, I knew what this chapter was about. Like, I knew what was happening in this chapter. So yeah. I was paying really close attention to the language used to describe Uncle Vernon and Dudley Dursley. Up until this point, Dudley Dursley has been described the same way Uncle Vernon has. Piggy, right? Like, wobbling, like very obese in like very hateful language. And I noticed that because this is the chapter in which he is redeemed, he is now simply large.
Yeah.
And we did talk, I think in the last book, we saw that he got to bulk up because he like got into wrestling or whatever. So it makes
sense.
He's
been lifting weights.
But it's like that is part of what's making him a good person.
That's
now,
how he redeems himself.
He is losing weight and he's shaking hands and he's a good guy now.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I think we first noticed it like really early on, right? That it was kind of in our face how absurd the fat shaming was. But it's so odd because like it feels like it comes from just such a deeply personal place. Like I don't know what it is that Joe is so against, but well, I mean I know what it is, but like I don't know why.
Dude, it actually makes perfect sense to me. It like kind of goes hand in hand with her like super like white women's turfy feminism. It's like this fear of like otherness, you know what I mean? It's like a deep fear of like that which she doesn't understand. And she's always been a frail white British lady. And she's like, "Well, I guess that means those who aren't are evil."
Yeah.
I'm trying to see, do you guys remember, I don't think that Harry mentions Dudley in the epilogue. I feel like I have a memory of something about Dudley, but I think it was a Joanne special after the fact. She was like, oh yeah, they're friends. Pretend I did that work. They're friends now.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that has always made this chapter seem really like almost unnecessary to me is that if there was any actual change in, I mean, all it would have taken is one sentence in the epilogue about like every few years, Harry sees Dudley and his children or something like, you know,
or like, don't forget to write your Uncle Dudley. Like it could have been really easily. It would have been really easy.
And honestly, that would have been really cool. That would have been great in my mind. Like it would have shown like growth for Harry. Cause Harry like has weird hangups. I mean, he was horribly abused. I get it. But like, I don't know. It just seems like there was an opportunity for growth on all sides and like an actual like nice resolution. And nope. Just no thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Like I do think that this book series is plenty long enough and there's a lot going on, but a lot of stuff gets resolved that like doesn't need to be.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like all of this bullshit in this book with like Tonks and Lupin, like I don't really give a fuck about it. Like I don't really care. Like why write Lupin being like a bad guy trying to like leave his wife and kid? Like why write them dying? Like why spend all that time and like not take a couple sentences to like actually complete the Dudley arc instead of just like throwing a handshake in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a handshake and also saying that, what is it? I don't think you're worthless.
I don't think you're a waste of space.
A waste of space.
Yeah.
Man, that's some growth.
I mean, okay. For the author, that's not growth. For the character, that's growth.
Yeah.
because that's like he's fucking 17 and he's like on a path to saying something nicer than that. He said what he's really saying is like, I'm worried about where you go from here. I thought we would be together so I could know that you are safe. That's like the subtext.
He did ask where's Harry going to be and all these things. Like it did show him struggling to ask these questions or to say things or didn't know how to. And just with his history too, he really didn't talk.
Besides. Yeah, why would he know how to explain his feelings?
Yeah.
But let's back up a little bit because honestly, Vernon and Harry going back and forth without the cut out the fat phobia, pretty fun. Pretty fun to listen to. especially as Harry gets a little more confident. So Harry's like, he's putting in a lot of emotional labor that like I maybe wouldn't have. I think I maybe would have stopped and been like, hey man, do you think that I really like want to spend my time convincing you to save your life right now? Like, do you think that that's something that I want to put my energy into? Like, why don't you just stay the fuck here? See if I care.
Yeah, right.
And there's that line when Harry's like, you will be at risk once I leave and the Voldemort might kidnap you to see if I come save you. And they like make eye contact and they're both like, I don't think you would come save me.
Yeah. No.
I wouldn't.
Well, it would genuinely from every angle be the wrong move. Like that's the simple reality is that it would be the wrong move. Even with Harry's saving people thing, like.
Yeah. I think that there has historically been a trope in literature of like saving the people you love. That's what happens when you put a Gryffindor in the main character slot. But I think that we've been kind of pulling back from that recently. This is one of the worst examples of like. Of abusers never getting their just desserts. But one of my favorite books, I'm not going to say the name because it's a pretty big spoiler, but one of my favorite books that's come out in the last like 5 years, the main character comes from an abusive household, very abusive. And at the very end of the book, her family's being held hostage. And the bad guy's like, I'm going to fucking kill your family. And she's like, and she kills them first. We're not pulling our punches. Like the abusers can go. And I like that choice. And that's what happens when you put people who other than Gryffindors, that protagonist was such a Slytherin. And that's such a Slytherin choice. Yeah, pretty cool shit.
I'm a Slytherin.
Would you save your abusers? Your abusive aunt and uncle?
I don't know. Was there AC and heat in that closet? Just kidding.
Oh my god, that's a really... Well, I guess it doesn't get hot there like it does here, but still.
They don't have AC there in England. That might do it. That might be where the petty comes from.
I wonder, because I was about to say, surely the Dursleys have AC, but there is that super hot summer where Petunia's wearing that coquettish dress in the movies and like desperately fanning herself.
It's the fifth one.
It's like... Where is the AC?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, Europe summers aren't great when there's no AC. We did that last year and it wasn't fun.
Yeah. Harry is like, do you remember?
And I
feel like I relate to this one. It's like, do you remember when we already had this conversation? Do you remember that
Every
we like wrapped
had-
it up? Yeah, like, do you remember that there was a resolution? So he's like reminding Vernon that Kingsley and Arthur came to explain the situation early in the summer, and it's like, Arthur, well, that guy exploded my living room, but Kingsley,
he
what a nice
him.
Stand-up guy. Yeah,
he's like, I
saw him
one.
On TV.
No, he's with the Prime Minister. Sorry.
One thing that we know about Vernon Dursley is that in the Chamber of Secrets, he told a, quote, Japanese golfer joke, unquote. And so based on that one isolated instance, we assumed that he was a racist person. There's also a bunch of other circumstantial evidence to indicate that he is a racist person. So I'm my brain is doing like the SpongeBob meme where he's looking both ways. If it's like, oh, maybe he's not racist because he respects Kingsley, or maybe it's even more racist because he wants Kingsley to be his bodyguard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would lean much towards that this is a situation where he's seen the capabilities of the individual and he's willing to look past it for personal
exceptionalism
gain.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Kingsley's one of the good ones, you know?
I was just about to say, like, what a well-dressed. Yeah. Yeah. What a well-dressed wizard, for starters.
I bet he's very well-spoken, too. You know, like.
Oof. Okay.
And didn't explode
oof,
his
white
living
ball,
room.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is true. Do I want to talk to the man who did explode my living room or the man who didn't explode my living room? That's so funny. My living room is in shambles right now because of a remodel. But the guy who exploded it, that's my husband. And then, you know what's funny? It also started in the fireplace. That's so funny.
Yeah.
We're doing that thing that books and movies sometimes do that I find inelegant, where it's like, remember when I told you? And then it's like, I'll tell you again from the top. And that's just because our viewers just got here. So Harry's like, from the top.
Make it drop.
Remember that when I turn 17, the love charm on the house will break and everyone will be at risk. And Vernon's like, this is not new information.
Just a rom-com.
I just, when you said it's a rom-com, I imagined it with that song, like, look around your world, pretty baby. I don't know why, but that's like, that's the song that popped in my head of, like, in the background of them having this
that
conversation.
That is,
Roll to Me.
Roll to Me. Is that Eagle Eye Cherry?
No.
I know the song, but I don't think I ever knew the band's name.
I think it's a one-hit wonder.
Del Amitri.
That
yeah,
sounds
I wouldn't
like
have gotten
a,
that one.
That used to be on my iPad. I mean, my iPod. I can't even say iPod anymore. I like don't. My mouth doesn't remember what an iPod is.
My iPod.
I remember when those came out. Those were magic back in the day.
Oh yeah, I'm watching Once Upon a Time right now. I keep bringing it up. Are you familiar, Fauna, with Once Upon a Time?
Mm-hmm.
Henry the kid is trying to woo this girl from a land without technology, only magic, and he whips out his iPod and she's like, what is this magic? so slick.
And kids nowadays don't know how to do the tick 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 all around. Oh
man.
That was so revolutionary.
So many skills that we cling to. That's how we know that we're old, is I'm like, I can type so fast on like a 9-button cell phone. What do you even call those? T9?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But y'all don't get it. See, we thought it was a really cool notion to get about 100 songs on a tiny little stick, but you didn't have a screen, so you could only hit next.
Oh my God, never- fuck that. Fuck the iPod Shuffle.
I couldn't do it.
I feel like the only market is people who have the one playlist that they run to. Like, I feel like that's the whole market.
Or people who never had a choice to pick songs. Like, my mom preferred the shuffle. She's like, why do I need to pick? I already like all these songs. I'm like, but what if you're not in the mood for that song?
Yeah, that's like such like a pre-Spotify subscription. Yeah, it's like, well, sometimes I need to listen to the very specific song by this very specific artist, this version that she did at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the inevitable evolution for people who, when they were younger, had hit clips.
Hit clips.
And they only had like 15 seconds of the worst part of the song.
I want to pay for one song in this cartridge that I'm going to put into my thing. And then, like you said, it's only going to be like 15 to 35 seconds.
It's absolutely wild that those were so short. Like, how is that? Because like a hit clips with that plays a whole song. Like, that's fun. That's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, a commercial's worth of a song, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's not enough. A little cock tease of a song.
Yeah, well, those are fun.
Well, now that we've lost everyone under the age of 28.
God, that is so much. So many of our patrons.
They're all just sitting here going, what the fuck are they talking about?
Antiques.
I bet this is when Charlie or someone drops into the chat and is like, I actually had an iPod. And we're like, thank you, Charlie. We are still old, but thank you. So Vernon wants Kingsley, but no. He gets Hestia Jones and Daedalus Diggle.
The fantastically dressed Daedalus Diggle.
What is he wearing?
I mean, he's Daedalus Diggle. He's always wearing fantastic things.
Does it
I can't
say?
Remember specifically. But
let me see. I'll find it. I didn't write it down. But I'm so ready to find anything.
I love Daedalus Diggle. He is one of my favorite secondary characters, or tertiary. Okay. Or
the names, though, for some of the wizards are just so fantastical.
Yeah.
It doesn't describe what he's wearing at all.
Diggle.
He's just wearing a waistcoat. Yeah, Daedalus Diggle. That's like a classic, like, children's fantasy name, I feel like.
Goofy.
It's interesting. Right now, Daedalus and Hestia are both Greek mythology names.
Yeah, Hestia specifically was the goddess of the hearth, right? So this is like guarding the home. It's kind of a weird, appropriate thing, I guess, like where you come from. I don't know.
Yeah, and Daedalus is the father of Icarus. It's usually rendered as D-A-E-D-A-L-U-S. In this book, it's D-E-D, which I think in American English approximates to like the same basic sound.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you guys know Icarus.
Yeah. Too close to the sun.
Iconically flew too close to the sun.
Waxy wings.
So yeah, it's interesting that these are both in the same place because Joanne pulls a lot of name inspiration from a lot of random different places.
Yeah.
And these are close together. I wonder if Hestia and Daedalus ever spoke in myth.
Yeah.
I do like both of their energies in this chapter, and I like to think that they're very good work friends. Like the silly ones, they're kind of like, in my headcanon, they're like Merry and Pippin.
Okay.
They're going to get their work done. They're going to have a great attitude. They're going to fuck a lot of shit up, and they're going to play some pranks.
That's for sure. Gotta love the hobbits.
Gotta. Boy, howdy, would I like to have some more hobbits and some less Vernon Dursley in this fucking book. So Daedalus goes over the plan. They're going to drive the Dursleys about 10 miles and then disapparate to avoid drawing like magical attention to Harry via like the underage. There can't be magic in his household or whatever because he's underage. So then they're going to leave, disapparate. And at the exact same time, Harry will be collected by his guard.
Can we all agree? It makes sense that wizards would use, or magic folk would use, miles instead of kilometers. Like, Imperial just seems like it would mesh up way more with people who choose the most random-ass measurements.
Well, they use Imperial in the UK.
Only for roads, though.
Yeah, miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I've had to Google that on this fucking podcast before.
That's weird.
What I'm having trouble with is the same thing we always have trouble with, is that this magic feels very random. First of all, the spell on this house, first of all, love magic. Second of all, the spell on this house is supposed to break when Harry comes of age, which is in a couple days from now.
Or
it's early.
When he no longer considers it home.
Okay, cool question for you, Andrew. When did he consider this home?
It's the home he always came back to.
No.
It is absolute. Listen.
He says.
If we've gotten this far.
He says it's not going home, not really, in book one.
Well, guess what? He's wrong.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. And, like, the thing that has to happen for him to no longer call this place home is he has to just leave and know he's not coming back. What if he forgot something?
Leave with the intention of never coming back.
Don't you feel like he did that in, say, Prisoner of Azkaban when he ran away to fucking dip the authorities and go on the lam?
I mean, for all we know, the charm could have gone down at that point.
But I think that because Lily's the one who cast the charm, it can't just go down like the internet. I think it is until it isn't. She can't be maintaining that charm.
Don't you tell Lily Potter what she can't. Listen. She
fucking can't.
I think that I appreciate where you're coming from, but I think you have told me like the very same advice of just Just don't get lost in it. Just...
All we have to do is point at it. We don't have to figure it out. I'm just pointing at it. This magic is very timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff magic is happening here.
Yes. Just blame the doctor, though.
The denouement charm is very specific and...
And, like, 10 minutes, what if the Dursleys, like, leave, like, accidentally, like, 20 seconds... What if Harry accidentally leaves the house like 20 seconds before he's supposed to? And then the Dursleys get abducted. And then Harry kills them. So that they... Oh my God, what fucking movie is it? It's one of my favorite movies. Speed! Have you guys seen Speed? Starring Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, the bus?
Yeah.
The bus. One of my favorite movies. I love it so much. Obviously, my dad showed that to me at a young age. And Keanu Reeves and his buddy cop, Jeff. Which one's the Jeff? He's an actor. He's an older, medium older man. And he kind of sounds like a sad dog. And maybe he voiced that sad dog in the... Is it Jeff Daniels? Is that a guy? Mm.
That is the guy from Dumb and Dumber, right?
It is Jeff Daniels. Okay, so that's his... That's Keanu Reeves' buddy. And at the beginning of the movie, they're like, bad guys got a hostage. What do you do? And they're joking. And they're like, shoot the hostage. And then later in the movie, Jeff Daniels, spoiler alert for Speed, which is having its 30th anniversary this year.
Oh my gosh.
Later in the movie, Jeff Daniels is being held hostage. And Keanu's like, what do I do? What do I do? Shoot the hostage. So he shoots Jeff Daniels in the knee. And Jeff Daniels is like, what the fuck? And Keanu's like, we said we would do this.
I'm following your orders. How dare you?
Oh my God, I love that movie so much. Watched it a lot with my brothers when I was a kid. Anyway, so basically, in summary, I'm not buying it. Daedalus's pocket watch screams at them to hurry up. So Hestia is like, oh, we'll be waiting in the hallway, giving them like a little bit of
privacy for their goodbye. It's time for your emotional goodbyes.
Wasn't she also like really taken back by how like they were being referred to as like your kind and how he was just talking to Harry as if he wasn't like having the sunshine shine out of his ass and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, that would probably be really shocking.
Yeah.
Why, if they're in the Order of the Phoenix, wouldn't someone have pulled them aside at some point and been like, by the way, like, we're really glad you're doing this role, but we all know that they're terribly racist. So, like...
Yeah, I do definitely think that that should have been part of their... What do you call it when you're debrief? A spy?
Yeah, you're...
No, the brief. Dossier. That should have been part of their dossier, which is, I think, a brief.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's like, hey, I know that you really like Harry. These people don't.
It's going to be weird. They should have been warned. It's going to be a little weird.
Yeah.
If you're taking your friends... to your grandma's house and your friends are a cool young queer liberal leaning group of people, any random group, maybe my friend group, you take your friends to your grandma's house and she's super racist. Not my grandma. My grandma was very regular racist, nothing special.
Honestly, and if I'm really rating her, subpar racist. She could have been so much more racist.
No, she grew up very near the home of Robert E. Lee. Like, she was regular. She was par. She was at par. But you tell your friends, you know? You don't just say, like, hey, let's go into this safe space, such as the other ones that I have fostered for you. You're like, hey, she's really racist. Just do me a favor. And, like, you have to tell your friends. You have to be like, she's old. We don't talk about it. You know, and everybody has a right to say that about their family members. Or like, she's really fun. Feel free to engage. She'll be really nice about it. There's people in the world who exist like that who are like, oh, tell me I'm wrong. That sounds great. Like, you have to tell people what they're walking into.
Yeah.
Especially because it sounds like Hestia and Daedalus are about to be with the Dursleys like for an extended months,
period of time. Yeah.
Maybe for the whole book.
Yeah.
Or at least until Harry manages to, win the day.
Yeah.
I wonder if someone purposely didn't tell them or it just completely went over their wizard heads because they were so focused on other things because they're like, maybe they wouldn't want to, or maybe they would have come in with guns blazing, wands blazing, being like, how dare you treat this boy like this for 17 years?
Yeah.
I just think it was probably not even thought about just because they had so many other wizard things that they don't think about that muggles deal with.
And nobody has ever really truly seemed to be worried about fucking Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like, maybe like someone said it too tactfully and Hestia and Daedalus like, you need things explained straightforward. Like someone was like, hey, just so you know, Harry's aunt and uncle, they're muggles. And they have, the way that you fail to describe your racist grandma to your friend, they have some outdated ideas and they might not be as excited about Harry being the chosen one as you are. And it's like, okay, all right. But it's like, no, they're really bad and abusive and prejudiced.
Yeah, not great. 0 out of 10, would not recommend.
Would not recommend the Dursleys?
Yes, would not recommend.
How bold and brave of you.
Would not recommend.
I wonder if you can find number 4 Privet Drive on like a map or maybe even like a fake map. And then you can...
Is it London or is it not? Because now I kind of want to.
It is in a fake place called Little Whinging.
Outside of Surrey, yeah. Aww.
It is located in the county of Surrey. Near London. Yeah, I wish I could rate it. Wait, it does say tourist attraction. Oh, that's probably...
Probably the actual house.
Oh, it's the outside of the house. 0 out of 10 stars. Would not recommend living here.
It's like those poor people that live in the... I mean, I kind of feel bad for them, but I also kind of don't. The people that live in the house that they used for Breaking Bad.
Uh-oh. Wait, keep saying something.
Well, I was going to say, they apparently have a lot of issues with fans coming by, but like my thing is, I don't feel bad for him at all because you could sell that house for so much more over market because of some fan wanting to own the Breaking Bad house.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, very coincidental that you just mentioned a house in Breaking Bad to me because I was babysitting a couple days ago.
And they had meth?
No, they actually remember when I sent the group chat that poster that said, don't, be cool, don't do drugs.
Oh. You need to same send house. That to me.
It was very funny. I will send it to you. Same house, but I was talking to the parents, and I did know that they were from Albuquerque, the mom. I knew she was from Albuquerque. I've known them for 10 years, so I haven't really thought about it in a long time. But we were talking about Breaking Bad, and I was like, ha, and I was pointing at that poster, because they know I smoke a little weed. But she told me, this lady that I have babysat for like 10 years, she told me that her family lived in that neighborhood, not the neighborhood of... Walt Whitman. What's his name?
Walt. It's
not Walt,
Walt
Whitman.
Or isn't it Walt? Or
it's definitely Walt. It's like, let's call him.
I remember Walter Jesse. Something. I don't. Yeah, Walter. Yeah.
Walter White. I knew it was a literal.
Yeah, there you
name.
Go. Walt.
Oh my God, not him, but the brother-in-law Hank and his wife Hank and Marie. So their house.
Damn it, Marie.
Was in the same neighborhood as this lady I babysit for when she grew up. And their family friend had built both houses. And their family friend lived in that house. And he was a wheelchair user. So when, spoiler alert for Breaking Bad season whatever. So when Hank is in a wheelchair and he's like getting around that house using a wheelchair and like the hoist thing to get him out of bed and stuff, that stuff was already extant in the house.
Huh.
And the reason they chose that house to film in is because due to it being ADA compliant for wheelchairs, the entryways were really wide, which made it a lot easier for filming.
Yep.
Huh.
Isn't that so interesting?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Somewhere in there, she said, do you know Hank and Marie's house from Breaking Bad? And I said, yeah, fucking ugly decor. And they were like, we knew the people who owned that house. And I was like, oh, my God. And they said, oh, the decor wasn't them. It was the movie people did the decor. And I was like, oh, thank God.
That's funny.
How did we get here? So it's time to say goodbye. Vernon is like, bye. And he like... He goes to try to maybe to try to shake Harry's hand, but then he like does that thing where he like slicks back his hair instead.
He swings his arm around
back and forth.
Like, yeah, about that.
How can he be such a small man that he cannot even muster the strength to do? He does fake enthusiastic handshakes basically for a living. He's like a manager.
Yeah.
Like he knows how to fake a handshake and he can't even do it.
I mean, how can he be so small? He's a manager that we know just screams and abuses his employees all day, and they have to take it. And he used to be able to scream and physically abuse this boy, and then the boy grew up to be a man who has the magical capability to turn him literally into whatever he wants.
Yep.
I guess what I'm saying is, do you think that if you had to, you could just shut the fuck up and shake anyone's hand?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think...
There's a handful of people I would not in the world.
Yeah, there's a very small number of people that
I think for the most part, the people whose hand I could not shake and mean it. Like, Voldemort. I'm thinking of Donald Trump, Voldemort.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell.
Lauren Boebert. Match Tatch McGatch.
Besides Voldemort, these are people who have wronged me.
Yeah.
To think of someone that I have wronged and not even being able to just fake a fucking handshake. You're never going to see this person again. Whatever. Vernon is poison brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lump. A lump of a person. Not physically, but mentally.
A little lump of a boy. Isn't that what they say about Peter Pettigrew?
Probably. Yeah. They're both weenies. They're both wormies.
Yeah.
In Vernon's mind, though, I think he would look at it as... He wouldn't think of it as Harry has gone out of his way... Well, either Harry or the people connected to Harry have gone out of their way to get protection for him. He would think of it as, how dare this child cause me to have to, the inconvenience of having to leave my home.
Yeah.
So, like, the slight is all that he sees. He doesn't see the reality of the situation, you know?
Imagine being married to that man.
No, thank you.
I really think Petunia was a nice person.
I think she had the potential to be.
Yeah, nobody is a nice person when they're, like, 18 or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that he made her really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably got worse with him.
Yeah. I think we did talk about this pretty extensively on our bonus episode that's coming out, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Me and Andrew recorded with our friend Ashley about the Dursleys kind of holistically through the series to talk about each of their individual so-called redemption arcs. Mm-hmm. And because when we see them, it's like just for like a chapter or two every book. So we wanted to really get the facts all in one place.
Yeah.
So that's coming out on our Patreon bonus feed, The Detention Crew, not this Saturday, next Saturday. So look out for that. And I think we do talk a lot more about Vernon and Petunia, which is so
Vernon
interesting to me.
Vernon and Petunia.
Don't make it a song. Don't make it a cute song.
How dare you?
A little jingle.
Petunia's like, whatever, let's go.
Well, she was crying on Dudley for a while because he made his attempt to say, I'm sorry.
First, Petunia says, whatever, let's go.
Yeah.
And then Dudley is like, wait, why are we leaving him? It's very cute. It's
That's
very
right.
sweet. We mentioned at the top of the show that it's like perhaps not enough to complete an arc satisfactorily, but I would rather have this here than not have this here for him.
Yes.
He's confused about why they're leaving Harry. He's worried about leaving them. I think that as much as Dudley has been Harry's bully for his whole life, he doesn't want some other motherfucker to come bully the kid. What? That's my job. And so I think that Dudley is feeling like sort of like a sibling type way for Harry for the first time ever. Because I think nobody beats you up except me is a very sibling energy.
Yeah.
And he's big now. Dudley probably feels like he could physically protect Harry, you know, because he's been training. And he's like, wait, you're not even coming with us. What the fuck? Why doesn't anyone tell me anything in this fucking house?
Do you think there is any way that he's about 17 years old himself? He's getting his own confidence. He's, aside from the other things that we said and how the portrayal of the body weight and shaming and size and how good versus bad based on how someone's body is that mm-hmm. we all hate and have seen through hundreds of years of stereotyping and stuff. But statistically, young boys who tend to go through puberty, sometimes their confidence does peak. Maybe he is finding his voice. And then he's like, wait, knowing or at least realizing maybe some of the things that his parents were doing and teaching him and how they're treating Harry might finally be clicking. And it could just be hopeful assumption because we would love to see that redemption, even though he did treat him bad for his entire life. I still teared up a little bit re-listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, because Dudley's a kid, you know, and all kids are shitty at certain points in their life. And, like, we don't know what Dudley's been going through to help him on this arc. Like, he's been gaining his own confidence for his own abilities outside of his parents. Mm-hmm. We don't know, like, what kind of... Maybe he has a friend that he, like, has learned, has an abusive parent. And he's like, wait, what? That sounds so fucked up. Wait. You know how when you're a kid, nothing occurs to you until it's, like, right in your face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or memories when you were younger and you didn't realize they were bad. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait. And then the trauma hits like 15 years later.
Or vice versa. Sometimes I say something and I'm like, this is crazy. Remember Andrew? Andrew, remember the other day you sent a link about, I forget what it's called. But you sent a link about this thing that they do, I guess, in South Korea, because that is your area of interest. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh yeah, my brothers and I used to play gooch tag all the time.
Yeah, the poop needle. The
poop needle. Yeah, gooch tag. And that's one of those things where you say it, you're like, this is insane.
you kept trying to double down, like, no, this is a normal thing that we did that was totally cool and okay.
Siblings will do anything. Siblings will do anything. Gooch tag is the least of it, I'm sure.
All I'm gonna say is that if it wasn't that weird, they wouldn't have written the article.
It's weird that adults in South Korea are doing it.
No, it's kids that do it.
It's weird that it's... Okay, but it's... Are they doing it on the playground?
Probably.
You're not supposed to go out into the world playing gooch tag. That's for you and your brothers to do in the basement. The more I say it, the weirder it sounds.
I'm sorry, you're not helping yourself. I'm just gonna let you keep talking. Go ahead, tell us more.
Oh, man. Okay, so... Hestia is like, don't you care about all the cool stuff? Why are you talking to him like this? Like, don't you care about all this cool stuff? And he's like, he's giving this 17-year-old's giving up his whole life for you guys. Don't you value that? And Harry is like, no, they think I'm a waste of space. Actually, they could not care less about that. And that's when Dudley says, I don't think you're a waste of space. The nicest thing he's ever
redemption. Said. Redemption. Oh, it tastes so good. Full redemption. Character is clean now. All is forgiven, right? Right?
Yeah. For me, yes.
That's all it ever takes in life is just one right line. Because that's really what matters is what you say, not what you do.
Right. One right line and one weird cup of tea placed outside of a door. And this guy is redeemed.
Dude, I'm willing to completely redeem him right now. He's
a
kid.
I want to redeem him. Listen, best case scenario for Dudley. In like 6 months, Vernon has a massive coronary. And because they're wizards, they don't know how to fix that. And he's just dead. And then Dudley gets to spend the rest of his life slowly having realizations about how much of a shitty, like, horrible family they were. And dragging Petunia, kicking and screaming, up to, like, Redemption Mountain.
Yes, he goes to therapy, and he works on himself, and he finds a partner who loves him with all his trauma, and he has a dog, he pets the dog, and he's like, see, we like to touch things in a nice way, not in a mean way, and he names his son Harry Potter.
He tells the dog as he's cutting the head, you're not a waste of space, doggy. You're not a waste of space.
Oh, sorry. The dog's name was Harry Potter Dursley.
Harry Potter Dursley.
And then Dudley will write Harry's story. Actually, new headcanon. Dudley wrote these books.
Dudley's children are wizards.
That's why the epilogue doesn't contain anything about Dudley is because he can't tell the truth that he was the one who wrote them.
He's like, and I was the writer all along.
Like a weird Lemony Snicket moment.
Yes, I was totally thinking Lemony Snicket. Yes,
I need to reread those books too.
They're so good.
Or is it his wife?
Listen, are we sure it's going to be a wife? Maybe that's part of why he was such a bully. He had a bunch of, like,
partner.
Vernon never would have allowed his son to...
Piers, wink, Polkus, wink, wink.
Just saying.
You're right.
Not sure about the partner, not sure about kids, but definitely a dog.
Who is not a waste of space.
who's not a waste of space.
That's what it says on the tag. Harry Potter Dursley, not a waste of space.
He had to custom order it because the little machine at Petco was like, maximum 26 characters.
Have you been seeing those custom ones online currently that people are doing? That people are like, it's on the back. Instead of like the parent's names, it's like, I have diarrhea. Please call my mom. I have like chronic diarrhea. Something to really enforce that these dogs need to go home.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
My farts clear rooms and are frequent.
I eat shit.
So funny that you said that because we were with a really farty dog all weekend.
Oh man, why do you think I thought of it?
I know.
I love that
My parents' dogs now.
Yeah, I love that dog too, but boy howdy, those were some farts.
All My Parents' Dogs. Wasn't that a sitcom back in the 90s?
Oh my God. It's like, all my children, but it's dogs.
It's the millennial version. All my dogs.
All my children, but he just opened a like a dachshund sanctuary or something. Like,
hey, they are our children.
A dog cafe. I mean,
grand dogs are a thing.
I feel you. I mean, they're definitely as annoying as real children.
Ain't that the truth? Cats too. God.
Yeah. So, in the final moment, Dudley comes back and shakes Harry's hand. He did what his dad could not.
Yes.
I think it's meaningful.
Yeah.
I think it's meaningful. The bar is low for this character.
It is. We want it to be meaningful. Yeah.
But we don't know the follow through. We don't. No, the follow-up.
That's not Dudley's fault.
He wrote the damn books. He could have.
Oh, God, I forgot. Well, he said, I'm not the main character. It's not about me. It's not about me in this moment. It's all about Harry and his son, Albus. I flipped to the end to see if they mentioned Dudley, and I saw Al, and I was, it looks like AI, and I was like, what the fuck happened to this epilogue?
Al. Oh, God, it's been updated again.
So Dudley leaves and the Petunia is left alone with Harry, and she could, and she considers saying something meaningful, but ultimately she literally is just like, bye Felicia, and like leaves
crying.
She's
on
like,
her son.
I can't do this.
I hate this. Yeah. I genuinely, because all signs point to that this woman should have had a change and should have had
like
something
by the end of the series. Have Petunia and Dudley leaving Vernon.
Yeah,
be
exactly.
Like, he does not. Okay, these two, they get protective custody. This one's gonna stay here and yell at Voldemort. Okay, yeah. He's gonna see how far that gets him. Yeah, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure in the film, at this moment, this is where we have a deleted scene that did not even make it into the final cut, where Petunia says, you know, she was your mother, but she was my sister, or something like that. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah, it was like this scene. I wish they did keep it in the movie a little bit, even if it was just part of it, just to kind of have that wrap up a little bit for the movie-wise. But well, I wish it was.
It also would have lent so much more gravity to the memories from Snape later on, right? Like, it would have shown that this woman still has the potential and still has that love deep down inside of her, which is supposed to be this whole thing, right? The love is supposed to be important, and yet it's just not. And it kind of takes away a lot from these like memories that we're going to be seeing of the two, you know, sisters together. It's a fucking missed opportunity.
I mean, I kind of don't like that added in line, because I feel like the subtext of that line is, when you were so sad about losing your mom all those years when you were living under my abusive household, did you never stop to think that I had lost someone too? An adult who was caring for you? Like, I feel like that's what the subtext of that line is.
It like, very well could be.
I mean, what else is the subtext? Like, what else could she be saying with that?
Her weird, stupid way that I understand.
I think that if you really want to, like, include that bit, what it's really saying is, I'm also a victim of Vernon's abuse. Because I'm not allowed to talk about my sister. that's where I think that line's supposed to be heading towards, is like, I am also a victim, and like, again, furthering the redemption and like if not redemption, at least reimagining of who this person is. That for all these years she has also been in a household where he will not allow her to talk about her family.
I'll buy that reading of it, but I do still strongly believe that Dudley arcs so much harder than even Petunia you give her that line.
Oh, 100%.
It's like crumbs of good character at this point.
Yeah, because it doesn't come out with the intention of commiseration. It comes out with the intention of defense.
Yeah, it's easier for a 17-year-old to become a better person than a 50-something-year-old at that point who still can't muster up a thanks.
Yeah,
it's true. So that's it. That's the end of the chapter. Fauna, was there anything we didn't get to that you wanted to talk about, or any favorite moments or last thoughts?
This is the chapter where, of course, all the other books slowly are getting more emotion, but this is right before we get your hearts ripped out even more within the upcoming chapters. And I remember reading this book for the first time. It was summer break. I was sitting on a gazebo over the lake at my parents' house surrounded by bees. Everyone is trying to get these books at midnight, whatever it was, those same day release. And I remember just, 14, 15-year-old me being, holy shit! It's just like these little moments that like all of us were waiting for at the time.
Yeah, I should have asked you at the top of the show, Fauna, like how do you like this book? Like, where does it fall in your ranking of the whole series?
I think probably one of the top three.
Okay.
I think because it wraps so many things up that we were craving for the entire time.
Certainly hungry for it.
Yeah, and I think for what it is, and at the time it was written, before she messed up, it is a good book. And I think if you think back to the bits and pieces of just why we love it so much, like, this completely wraps up a lot of the things we were hoping for, or like just gave us an answer to things that were lingering literally the entire series.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely very satisfying to read. How many times have you read this book? Is it just like once when it came out, or have you read the series again since then?
This particular book, I think I've only gone through it once, at least not on like an audiobook.
Okay, I feel you.
Yeah.
It is a lot, and it's hard to drop in.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, let's start with this.
The Forest of Dean?
Yeah, because I have all of them on Audible.
Nice.
And because my dad's was a big reader back in the day, but then he's like, I don't have time to do that, so he's just going to listen to everything.
I love it. Same thing. You get the same information. We support it.
And you can multitask.
Yeah, I've also been listening to the audiobook, which is nice. I when I first started listening, the narrator,
different
legendary narrator Jim Dale, his voice really irritated me. But by now, I've grown to truly love it. Like, I really like Grandpappy reading me a story. It's awesome. Andrew, do you have any final words about the chapter?
No.
Okay.
I have fully expressed every emotion I possibly could.
Okay. Andrew, you came on for the last chapter, which was sucked. It sucked. Mm-hmm. And then this chapter sucked a lot less, but we're still just kind of treading water. Oh, and I regret to inform you that your next episode is The Will of Albus Dumbledore, which is also a bit treading water. And then you're on for chapter 11, The Bribe? What is that? What the fuck is The Bribe? Don't know.
We'll get there.
I think it is just another bullshit chapter, because I think The Bribe, something about the locket with Mundungus Fletcher, like something about that.
Well, it's fine, because I was able to claim years ago, like, one of the most important chapters in the entire series. So
it's true. God, you come on for some really boring chapters this book, Andrew. That's so funny. I did that by accident. Oh my God, that one's boring too. Andrew, this is crazy. Oh my God, they're all boring. Okay, so Andrew, luckily you're my number one go-to for when somebody has to cancel. You're on so many boring chapters. Aww. Okay, and then you're coming on for That one. And then it's the end of the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Get ready to be underwhelmed.
Woohoo! I'll bring the something.
He'll bring something. Oh, he'll bring something. That stunning charisma. Bring it over here.
Yeah. We're not stretching for time. Who would ever accuse us of that?
We've been recording longer than an hour. We're done, baby. Let's move on to plugs. Fauna, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Okay, for those who have not heard of me before, if you've been listening to this podcast, I'd assume you have a couple times. I guess this is number 5. I have my own podcast. It is the Katzstein Witchcraft Podcast. It is about modern witchcraft and talks about different types of spirituality, religions, and different fun stuff like that. So a lot of the chapters I've been on were associated with things that I could, like, talk about, like, modern real witchcraft, like the tea leaves, tasiomancy, different things like that. So, and then just other ones that where I could pull little things out of the air to talk about where it could be relevant. This one was just more of, like, an emotion one, and that's why I wanted this one. It wasn't too much.
And I'll tell y'all, Katzstein witchcraft is extremely accessible. Like, I'm not like a big witchy girl myself, but I'm interested in it, like, more academically. You know, a lot of the reading I do has a lot of those elements and stuff. So I listen to it as like one step less than a beginner, you know, like I'm kind of not even in it. And it's just extremely accessible to people of all levels, I think.
That's the
goal. If you're even remotely interested, definitely check out Katzstein witchcraft. I love it.
And that's kind of how I set it up and still like to, even though some topics might be a little more like advanced, just like a different capacity where you could like pick it up, but I'll provide the sources that I have, or I'll tell you when something's my opinion or my experience, or when I don't know, or if a topic I'm talking about, like I'm writing the notes for one right now, and I'm like, hey, this is what this is popularly known as, but there is some discrepancy in the historical aspect of all this, because a lot of things were written not by the people who were a part of these cultures or pathways, or just old historians weren't necessarily good at their job. And so we have to wean through real history as much as real it is, with actual facts and things that we've been discovering. Because a lot of, like, witchcraft history is more folklore and not as much history as people claim it is to be.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more modern than people real. There's a lot of history, but it's also mixed with a significant amount of modern stuff. Like, a lot of it's mixed with, like, Freemasonry and a bunch of other things, and people are like, what? And it's just like, it's not as, like, witches weren't doing a lot of these crazy things like we do now, because that was because all the people who formed these organizations and practices were all Freemasons.
Interesting. Yeah, like, witchcraft is just, like, a bit more nebulous.
Yeah.
A lot of good book recommendations on that show, too.
Yeah, I try.
Speaking of which, Fauna, what's something you've been reading, playing, listening to recently that you think the listeners would enjoy?
So, I haven't really been playing anything besides music. I've been kind of picking out wedding music. That's kind of the mode I'm in.
She's getting married!
Yes, there's an episode where Fiance came on and we talked about, like, inner spiritual relationships, like, having people on different aspects of that. And so, yeah, that's kind of the mode I've been on. It's just, like, coming up with a badass, like, playlist, because our DJ is like an EDM DJ, not just a stereotypical, like, wedding DJ and everything. Like, well, that's kind of the mode I'm in. So if I'm busy for a while or disappear, it's most likely wedding related stuff, or I'm burnt out from that. So
sure, that's valid. Wait, did you just plug making a wedding playlist?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Make a playlist for anything. I make playlists for everything.
You know what? Just music in general, like, going through those things and making playlists for different moods, you know what?
Plugging music.
Yeah, music.
I've recently been building a playlist that I like to call Big Boy Feels, and it started with only Hozier, and I've been expanding it. So if anyone has any recommendations for my Big Boy Feels playlist, please let me know.
Oh, that's I've got funny. So many for you.
Yeah, tell me. Later. Text them to me. Andrew, what are you plugging this week?
This really is difficult because I you know, it's too frequent. It's too immediate after my last plug.
I know, I'm sorry.
Can I just pass this week? Can I just plug?
Yeah, you can pass. You come on more than anyone, and you do the least like pluggable like guest spots and like reading a bunch of books. Like, you're good. Take the pass.
I'll just say, if you really want my plug, then just listen to Burn Before Reading. How about that?
Woo! That's my plug too. I've been your host, Christina. You know where to find me. And this week I'm going to plug A Blade So Black by L.L. McKinney. It is a very fun and silly YA Alice in Wonderland retelling. And I will be reading the sequel, which is called A Dream So Dark. And then there's a third called A Crown So Cursed. So a lot of fun. Highly recommend that if you are looking for something easy, you know, like brain candy.
Mm.
Fauna, thank you so much for coming on the show. Oh my God, for the last time ever.
I know.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, I got 5 times. I know some other people have been on more than 5 times, but I'm kind of a outlier of the regulars.
No, I love it. Thank you so much. You're going to have to come on Burn Before Reading. Because
I know. I keep trying to think of things for it. No, I know. I keep trying to think of things. And I'm like, which one? Or where is that? Do I have a hard copy? Do I have the digital copy? Mm-hmm. I really don't have to pull out my old hard drive. That's more of the thing.
Well, let me know when you're ready. We are waiting with open arms.
Yeah. So, yep. We'll see.
Everyone's plugs are Burn Before Reading. Go listen to it. Last week, our Twilight episode came out. That's it. That's the whole thing. It's really good. It's a really good episode.
That's all I should have to say.
Yeah. Thanks so much to the two of you. I'm really excited to get into the rest of this book. I'm excited to leave this house forever and never, ever look back.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's go kill Voldemort. Yeah.
Yay. We're off to kill the wizard.
That's it, potheads. Thanks for listening to The Restricted Section. Hosted and produced by me, Christina Kahn. The music produced by Ryan Kahn. Logo designed by Michael Hardison. Please don't find us on social media. I am not doing anything there. However, you are welcome to join our Patreon. For $1 a month, you can gain access to our Discord server, which is a lot of fun. And for $5 a month, you get access to our monthly bonus episodes. There's also a $10 and a $20 tier as well, so please go check that out. We are honored to be part of Deus Ex Media Podcast Network, which features lots of wonderful podcasts for nerds, including this one.
Do you love to be super scared? Do you enjoy listening to hilarious hot takes on timeless classics? Well, fear not, listeners. I'm here. Welcome to the Super Scary Podcast, where we cover everything from the supernatural to the superpowered. I'm your host, Josh, a scaredy cat nerd who enjoys superhero sci-fi and horror movies way too much. Whether I'm processing my trauma from Texas Chainsaw Massacre or reminiscing on the nostalgia of Hocus Pocus, my guests and I have a hilarious time going through our favorite and sometimes not so favorite moments. I'm your friend till the end, listeners, because everyone's entitled to one super scary podcast. We post weekly episodes on Mondays, and you can find us at Super Scary Podcast on all the socials. See you in the afterlife, listeners.
I'm going to go. I made a mistake. Sean's not here all week. I did lock down the house, but I forgot to turn the hall light on. So there's definitely an intruder in here now, and I'm terrified. I'm going to hit him with some Taekwondo. Hoo!
Deus Ex Media.